Brady Saar, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services, Erskine. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Jamie Dickerman. We begin with Harvest Hotline. Harvest Hotline sponsored by the North Dakota Mill, U.S. Custom Harvesters, Amity Technology, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. The main harvest campaign for sugar beets in the southern Red River Valley at Mindac Farmers Cooperative is being delayed due to warm temperatures. Executive Vice President Mike Metzger says weather conditions just aren't right to start piling beets for long-term storage.
We had a snapshot here. There's about 48 hours that looked like the temps would be conducive to put beets into long-term storage, but we're a little reluctant to do so simply because the beets that are going to be piled then, if the forecast holds midweek, they're going to be going through 75 degrees again for several days. And the beets that we would stockpile early in the week, they're at the end of the pile grounds. They're not easily accessible.
Metzger says waiting should make for a smoother campaign.
Very choppy with the heat shutdowns. And looking ahead, the forecast looks pretty darn good. Looks like we'll drop next week. It looks like when we start up, we don't know when that is yet. We're, you know, still evaluating. But if we do start up here the early part of this next week, it looks like we'll be able to roll around the clock. And right now, guys are working on beans. So the guys that are done with beans are switching to corn, so they've got plenty to do. And we're just going to hold off a little bit before we kind of open the floodgate.
Sugar beet harvest is going on in the Northern Valley. Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Executive Director Harrison Weber says night one of the main campaign went smoothly as growers got back into the rhythm of harvest.
Night one in the books and under our belt. I think a lot of people getting past those pre-game jitters, dusting off the cobwebs, and remembering what this is all about. So excited to be moving. Rough and dirty guesstimate, I would estimate we would have brought in, you know, somewhere around 300,000 or 400,000 tons. I know the northern district was started up early this morning at 8 o'clock this morning, just due to some excessive moisture that they received over the weekend. So now I think everybody's rolling and certainly are going to start seeing those tons come in.
Weber says weather remaining the biggest variable for any kind of harvest progress.
Can't be too hot, can't be too cold, and obviously can't do it with excessive moisture. So just a small ask by everybody listening. If you're helping at the piling sites or the working for a farmer or driving truck, just bear with us and stick around. And we need you guys through the whole harvest. So, we need you. Even if we get shut down, just bear with us. And we want to get through it as much as everybody else does. So,
harvest progressing smoothly in northeastern South Dakota. Peaver area farmer Bob Metz says favorable weather has allowed steady progress through soybean fields with solid yields reported so far.
It is going great. We've had good weather, so things are moving along nice. We should finish soybeans today, and we'll move right into corn tomorrow. You know, we had a bunch of ground out early, but most of the guys are like in that mid-50s. So low 50s, and there's some 40s, you know, and an occasional 60, but I would say that 45 to 55 catches just about everything.
Met says corn harvest is up next, and early signs pointing to strong yields despite weather setbacks earlier in the season.
Well, from what I've talked to the neighbors, you know, we've just had two beautiful weeks of drying down, so kind of hear that 18 to 22 moisture, and you know, somewhere's in that 200 area. So that's a pretty darn good crop for our part of the world. We were just talking about that. We had one river bottom that flooded out twice, and there's still beans out there. So don't ask me how.
Harvest continuing across central North Dakota. Bremen area farmer Donnie Ulmer says pinto bean yields were disappointing this year due to a mix of disease and excess moisture, while soybean harvest is off to a fair start.
So pinto beans are pretty much done. There's probably a couple fields left out in the area. Pinto beans were very, very poor on average. There were some okay fields, but for the most part, they were well below average because of white mold, bacterial, some blight, I guess, some bacterial blight. And just excess water, I think, too. But overall, pinto beans had a very poor year. soybeans, I would guess, are approximately 25% done, give or take a little bit.
Ulmer says corn in his area is much better shape, with favorable weather through September and early October helping that crop finish out strong.
Okay. But overall, on the corn side, we're really looking, we're hoping for record corn yield, and I don't know if that'll happen. I assume it probably won't be much above last year, but last year was very good. Maybe it'll be a little bit below last year, but corn looks really good. So the big thing on the corn, the thing that could beat us up on the corn yield that's kind of hard to understand is the drowned out. And how many of those drowned out spots do we have? If we have more than we anticipated, obviously that pulls that yield down. Those zeros are hard to overcome. But that's the wild card for us on the corn, I think.
That's Harvest Hotline, brought to you by U.S. Custom Harvesters, North Dakota Mill, Amity Technology, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services.
It's National 4-H Week. Clarence Prozakwas is a youth leader for Kitson County 4-H.
Right now I'm the president of my club and of Leaders Council. Through that, I'm able to show other kids how important it is to be able to interact and to lead a club and just to be able to guide the younger generation into the next step.
Prozakwas has focused on livestock projects, including beef, pigs, and horses. While he enjoys his time in the show ring, the North Star 4-H member appreciates the opportunity to educate others about farming.
Just being able to interact with the general public. The general public needs to know what agriculture is, and to be honest, they don't. For kids to be able to interact with the general public, I think, is really, really interesting, important, and like when we go to state fair, our goal is to interact with the public, to ask questions, to have them ask questions, and our goal is to tell them and teach them as much as we possibly can.
The Red River Farm Network Salute to 4-H is made possible by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Associated Milk Producers Incorporated and its Dinner Bell Creamery, and the Minnesota Farm Bureau. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. A freeze warning is in effect from midnight tonight through 9 a.m. tomorrow. Temperatures are expected to dip below 24 degrees across portions of North Dakota and Minnesota. Warmer weather returns later in the week with highs climbing into the upper 60s and low 70s by Friday and breezy southerly winds up to 30 miles per hour. The weekend will bring a chance of scattered rain. Highs will be in the 70s before cooling back down into the 60s next week.
As Minnesota farmers wrap up soybean harvest, they're facing another round of challenges from trade tensions, rising costs, and a government shutdown. Minnesota Farmers Union President Gary Werdish says the combination of tariffs and policy uncertainty is weighing heavily on farm income this fall.
We got the tariff situation, the trade war with China, and basically the world. And right now we're wrapping up soybean harvest around the state and in the U.S. more than likely. And we still don't have any, China still hasn't bought any beans. So that's very, very concerning. And then, you know, as you get into the fall now, farmers got to pay their loans and rewrite new loans for next year. And so it's a challenging time. The soybean market for sure has been very depressed due to the trade wars.
Werdish says the economic stress is being compounded by all the uncertainty.
Well, there more than likely would be some aid coming, but that there's a lot of uncertainty there this time, or now too, because the previous, when the president did it in his first term, he took the money out of the CC, Section 32 funds. You know, it's not clear if he can do that this time, and in that at the present time, there isn't that amount of money in the funds. And he talks about using tariffs, but there's a lot of uncertainty if he can use the tariff money. And, you know, the numbers are floating. It's like 10 to 12 billion. That's the loss is extremely higher than that.
A coalition of 250 agriculture groups have sent a letter to President Trump asking for help. The letter said farmers do not want to be in a position to ask for more assistance. They need a bridge to better markets. The groups signing the letter included national organizations like the American Soybean Association, National Corn Growers Association. Numerous state commodity groups have also signed off on this letter.
The National Potato Council is joining other specialty crop groups in urging President Trump to make sure that they are included in any upcoming economic relief package. CEO Cam Quarles says it's a difficult time across all of agriculture.
Yeah, the challenges really involve for us
You've got market volatility. Input prices have gone up substantially. Fertilizer, pesticides, those kinds of things. Ag labor, specialty crops, potatoes, labor-dependent agriculture certainly have been pressed by a lot of the ag labor challenges. And that has just set up a real kind of firestorm for the industry this year.
Quarles said the ag groups have reached out with multiple letters to the president highlighting the need for targeted assistance.
Yeah, we are. And there was a specialty crop specific letter. And then there was also a letter that went from all of U.S. agriculture that really spoke to the need across all of the various commodities that the U.S. produces to get this relief. Specialty crops, to be successful, it's a little different than the program crops. Specialty crops grown differently, structured, the farms are structured differently. So the solution for specialty crops is different than the program crops, but the end goal is the same, is to keep these family farms in business.
Minnesota DFL Senator Eric Putnam is on the road again, visiting farms around the state with the ongoing federal government shutdown. Putnam says it's making for difficult conversations, especially where state governments can't pick up the slack.
When it comes to our interaction with the federal government, the numbers are so big that the state can't compensate for things that the federal government decides not to do. Like, we can't take out the slack because the resources just aren't there, not because of anything we decided on, but because in the past we've operated in partnership, we've collaborated with the federal government. And now that the federal government's getting punitive, that's a real challenge. And when it comes to the shutdown, I maybe shouldn't say this, but I think I wish more politicians would just grow up and behave like adults. And I know that that's a naive thing to say, but I still believe it in my heart, and I still feel it as a citizen. I think people forget that politicians are citizens, too, and citizens first.
Putnam expects the next legislative sessions to be policy-focused due to a stricter budget.
But this is a policy year, so we're going to tinker with policies more than we are likely going to have a lot of money to spend. So the challenge here is thinking of ways we can tinker with the policies to free up resources so that they can go where they need to go.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The high cost of fertilizer is a top-of-mind topic in agriculture, especially as farmers plan for 2026. University of Illinois economist Gary Schnicke says it may come as a surprise that 96% of the nitrogen that farmers use in the United States is actually produced in the United States. However, it's the 4% that comes in from other places that, on the margin, really makes the difference.
It's 96%, as you mentioned, that is produced here in the United States that's used here. That has increased over time. Primarily, I would attribute to that to the fracking revolution for natural gas, which gave U.S. a natural gas advantage over many other places. We do produce most of our nitrogen here, and that's concentrated in four companies, with CF Industries being the largest.
Approximately 21% of the nitrogen was produced in the United States in 2000. Most potash or potassium used in the U.S. comes from outside the country.
Most of our potash or potassium comes from Canada. So if we're getting it from Canada, the tariff situation plays a role. So far, I think that potash is exempt from tariffs. Those things can change on a daily basis, though. So right now, we think we're sitting pretty good on potash. It should be proceed normally, but we'll see.
October is the month for fall crop insurance pricing. After 4 days, the December corn average price is $4.20 per bushel. That's down from $4.70 this past spring and $4.16 last fall. The November soybean price is averaging $10.18 per bushel, down from $10.54 last spring and up from $10.03 last fall.
Checking quotes for you now. December wheat Minneapolis is 4.5 lower to $5.52. Chicago December wheat's 5.75 lower at 5.07. KC December hard red winter wheat is 3.25 cents down to 4.92 1/4. December corn 1.5 lower at 4.20 1/4. November soybeans 4.5 higher, 10.22 1/4. November canola is $6.70 per metric ton, up to $6.14.20 Canadian. On the cattle side, October live cattle are up $1.27 at $2.33.15. October feeders are $3.12 higher, $3.65.52. October hogs, they're down 35 cents, $97.97. Dow Jones Industrial Average is 160 points lower to 46,458. This is the Red River Farm Network.